This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2. The week's best bits. Laura and Duncan's Hope Breakfast Podcast.
Hey.
Hi. I've decided that I will keep talking to you after what happened on the show this week.
I sense some negativity and some hostility.
Negativity?
Some negativity.
When you share food with your peeps, they're meant to be peeps at a table. There are certain rules when it comes to sharing that you need to abide by. We've covered off on those.
Well, listen, and I think from my perspective, it was fantastic. Although maybe from yours, crushing. Yeah?
3, 2, 1.
Breakfast is ready.
Morning, Laura Bennett.
Morning, Duncan Robinson. Hello, Sydney.
Hi, my name is
Laura. Yours is Duncan. Glad we've established that.
Excellent.
Sometimes for each of us, though, there is a lot in a name. Like a rose name, something else would still smell good, right? We've heard that. But in 2017, there are some names.
By any other name would smell as sweet.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. Yeah.
There are some names in 2017 that have not yet been registered. These names are looking like they could be facing extinction.
Right.
Okay?
All right. Run me through the list. What do you got?
Heads up. Angela.
Oof.
Bertram.
Ouch.
Beverly.
Ow.
All could be facing their chopping block. Diane. Donna. And it's not just the ladies, okay, for the gents.
Okay.
Leonard. Malcolm. Wayne. All going. And look, yeah. I'm really sorry to say this, but Duncan is on the list.
Excuse me. What? Hold on.
No one has chosen to name their
baby
boy.
Back up for a second. Sorry. We're talking about the, obviously, the top 36 most popular names in the world,
no,
right?
These are the names that no one in 2017 has chosen to call their kids.
Oh, okay. Okay. You know what? We need to address this right now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are expecting a newborn boy.
Yes.
And you are looking for a astute, intelligent, and uplifting name, I want to recommend Duncan. Now, hear me out. Here's what I'm going to promise. If you...
Here we go.
Name your kid Duncan. Take a photograph of the birth certificate. Send it in here to Hope 103.2.
Yeah.
And I promise that I will send you out a signed wet wipes pack. I'll also get Laura to sign it.
That's a pretty fair deal.
That'll get you through probably the first night with that newborn.
Yeah.
But listen, your kid will have some clean buns by the end of it. I promise it. If you name it Duncan, can you do that?
On behalf of some of
Hope
Planned
Are we allowed to promise that? I just went out there. I haven't even checked with management.
To talk to the queen of our wet wipes and just see what she's got left.
This needs to stop immediately. Name your boys Duncan.
What was your wedding processional song? Because we got talking today about wedding processionals.
Yep.
Our producer, super producer, Ali, was away over the weekend at a wedding. And it was an unusual wedding processional. It was Chariots of Fire.
I feel like the bride would have to start walking and then a canter and then a gallop and then she'd say, I do.
Hope that she grabbed a bottle of water halfway down and shot herself in the face with it and then ran across the finish line.
It's very climactic.
It's great. I love an unusual wedding processional because my wife walked down the aisle to Gomez, Nothing Is Wrong. Which actually starts with a giant drum solo. It's pretty rad.
Let me not criticise your choice too much, but that seems like a very Duncan choice for the wedding.
It sounds like a Duncan choice, but that was actually a Carly choice. She surprised me with that, and I loved it.
Already on the text line 0448402020, Lachlan, his wedding processional was concerning hobbits. Fellowship of the Ring. It is very nice.
I wonder if they had elevensies.
Very orchestral. He said it related to his Tolkien obsession. And also, Stacey, this is what her sister walked down the aisle to. I think the rock thing is obviously a theme.
Do you reckon you walk down the aisle, though, to Queen, or do you strut down in a power pose?
You are strutting. What was your wedding processional song? Morning, Lisa. What one did you guys choose?
This might show my age a bit, but we chose, or I should say I chose, Jessica's theme from The Man from Snowy River.
Oh, yes. That's wonderful, Lisa. Judging by that song, I'm guessing you're in your early 20s.
Yeah.
Yes, and then some.
Thanks, love Lisa. 1-300-40-2020. This is kind of nice.
It's
the wedding
nice.
Processional song that you chose. Good morning, Lee. What did you have?
We chose Van Morrison's Have I Told You Lately That I Love You.
Oh,
and it's
gorgeous.
A beautiful love song, but when you read the words, he actually wrote it to God after he became a Christian.
Ah.
And we felt it was a marriage between the three of us.
That's so special.
Yeah, it was absolutely wonderful. Every time we hear it, I just melt.
Oh, what a great choice, Lee. Thank you.
1-300-40-2020. What did you walk down the aisle to? What was your wedding procession?
Kieran, was this your choice or was this your other half's choice?
No, it was a mutual decision.
And what was that song?
Well, our processional song was more of an obscure guitarist virtuoso, but what we walked into our reception to was Aerosmith's Dude Looks Like a Lady.
Oh. Now, Kieran, I just want to double check. You didn't actually do your wedding to, like, any Eric Johnson because you just might become my favourite human on Earth.
I'm sorry, no, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Kieran. Some great suggestions. Thanks, guys. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
You took it, like, next level. What did you do for your wife?
I actually sang my wife down the aisle to a Michael Card song. Take it from the Song of Songs.
You've got to give us a little bit of a rendition.
We need a little song right now.
Okay. Arise, my love. My lovely one, come. The winter is past and the rains are gone. The flowers here, it's the season of song. Arise, my love. My lovely one, come to me.
Michael, oh, I have nice. No wonder why Michael. She said yes. That was beautiful.
Hope Breakfast
with Laura and Duncan.
Queen Elizabeth's former chef.
Yeah.
Has revealed that she loves cake so much, she actually travels with cake.
No
so
way.
It's a chocolate perfection pie is her favourite one of choice. And now normally the chef makes it and each day she'll have a slice and if it's not finished by the end, it gets taken up to her room. And there have been occasions, because she's a fairly busy lady, she's got lots of demands on her time. If she's going to be out of the castle, they take the cake with them to make sure that she can still have some.
I would like to get human resources on the line and just renegotiate my contract right now to write in that any time that I come into work, that there is fresh chocolate biscuit cake waiting for me or some kind of chocolate treat.
You know what happens after you ask for that?
What's that?
You get fired.
Oh.
What are your rules around food sharing, okay?
Because really clear.
I don't think they are clear, Mr. Robinson.
All
yesterday, we took the Bricky team just out for an excursion. We left the studio, saw some sunlight. It was
bit of bonding.
Amazing.
Bit of hanging out, just chatting.
Went to the cafe, doing some planning for the show. And Duncan, mind you, at about 10:30 in the morning, decided to get a burger and chips.
Well, hold on. It was close enough to 11 o'clock, which is my window for eating breakfast. It fell within the half-hour neutral zone. Totally acceptable.
Burger and chips implies that there's going to be too many chips and those sitting at the table with you can kind of have some.
There may not be. There may be the perfect amount of chips. I'm not willing to make that decision before I see the plate.
Had very crispy, delicious-looking chips.
They were, salted it with delicious chicken salt. They were amazing.
Rub it in. There were four of us sitting at the table and I thought, oh, yeah, chip. I think one of your chips looks like it could be one of my chips. And I kind of made an indication as to the benefits of sharing chips.
Okay.
And you were very closed off at the idea of any of our hands coming near the edge of your plate.
Absolutely.
Then, by the time you caved, the chips were cold.
Well,
okay?
Listen,
now,
your poor food choices should not reflect my need to share my great food choices with you.
1-300-40-2020. What are the rules on your table about food sharing? Because I think if you get burger and chips, those chips are the table's chips. The burger, yes, that can be yours, but the chips are table chips.
I don't mind if there is a pre-negotiated agreement before the food comes out, before I order it to say, hey, would you mind if I had a couple?
Yeah.
But when that food hits the table and suddenly you're in a state where you regret your decision and you've got to impinge on my brilliant decision, that's when I've got an issue.
I don't regret my hot chocolate. I just think you should have shared your chips. On the text line, I don't like to admit it, but Rick has come on board with you. He said if the chips are on the same plate as the burger, fish, etc., no sharing.
Yeah.
If they come on a separate plate, help yourself. Tim even
Agreed.
Says if the burger comes with chips, they're not to share.
Amen, Tim.
If you order a side of chips, then you have to share. Please tell me on 1-300-40-2020, Adam, do you have a different opinion on food sharing?
No, I don't. I'm totally with Rick on that one. No, I think that if it's part of the dish that's listed on the menu, you don't have to share. But if it's a side, well, then you can share. But it's a bit like, you know, when you put your garbage bin out, if there's some room in it. Mm. You know, once it's on the street, people can put their rubbish in.
Oh, yeah.
With food. If you've finished and you've had enough, then, you know, yeah, sure, share. But you know, you don't have the right to just go up and just help yourself.
Oh, thank you, Adam. But I'm not talking about going to like a stranger's plate of chips, okay?
So just a score check right now. That's 1, 2, 3 for Duncan, 0 for Laura. Keep going.
Jocelyn, 1-300-40-2020, food sharing. Can I take some of Duncan's chips?
I'm sorry, it needs to be agreed up front during ordering. During ordering, if you say, okay, I'm going to order a burger and chips, and guys, it's okay for you to have some chips, then it's fine. But if Duncan goes, I'm ordering a burger and chips, and everyone goes, no, don't want any, and then it comes out, no, oh, can I have one? No.
Thank you so much, Jocelyn.
And that's exactly what had happened. Everyone had ordered a terrible dish, and I had ordered a fantastic dish, and suddenly everyone wants chips.
I didn't say I didn't want any of your chips, but once they came out, they smell good.
1-300-1234 Duncan, 0 Laura.
1-300-40-2020 Sean, good morning. What is your food sharing philosophy?
You better chalk it up to 5, Duncan.
Yeah.
Come on, Hope Land. Surely there are those of us who are generous and want to share our chips. Sean, why can I not pinch some of Duncan's chips?
Well, like, if Duncan's ordered the chips, like, there's the one sacrificial chip that it's like, you know, sort of assumed that, okay, someone's going to take one chip.
Yeah, it's tax.
Beyond that one chip, those are Duncan's chips.
Amen. Yep. No, and that sacrificial chip is usually the one that has fallen off the plate onto the table. It's free game, I agree. It's now table chip.
I may have one here. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning.
Can I take some of Duncan's chips?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Cindy. Why?
Because if you've taken time out, just go out with someone and sit with them in the table, you can share food.
Mm. Yes, thank you.
Well, why doesn't it just come on a giant platter that they throw down in a trough in front of all of us?
Don't you be questioning,
it comes out on an individual plate.
Don't you be questioning Cindy's logic.
No,
I'll give you
5-1, except on the text line 0448 40 2020. Abby's just chimed in. My philosophy is I don't share food. That's 6-1, Duncan. Appreciate your time.
Well, I'm just going to establish right here and now, every time you have chips, I want one. Okay, so go to your kiddies crayon box, and hey, maybe you've got your own adult crayon box.
Oh.
That's okay. Just go in there and make sure that you save your favorite crayon colors, particularly dandelion.
Dandelion yellow.
The dandelion yellow.
Is about to be retired.
Axed.
And this is seriously, right now, people, this is not a hoax.
No, this is...
Crayola has announced that they're going to retire dandelion.
Did they not survey the people to see which colour was best to get rid of? Because could I just make a quick point here? This is the colour of Big Bird. This is the colour of Belle and her dress, Beauty and the Beast.
This is what you use for sun. When you draw a sun on a piece of paper, you grab dandelion.
Lego figurines. They have literally taken away our sunshine if they get rid of dandelion.
It makes no sense whatsoever. You could steal burnt sienna.
Uh-huh.
You could take that right now, but you do not take our dandelion Crayola.
We've had our say. I don't know that anyone in Crayola is really going to care.
They need to listen because Hopeland cares.
Hope Breakfast
with Laura and Duncan.
We have a shared fridge at work.
Yes.
Things get labelled with names. But toward the end of the week, there are some things labelled with names and it's like that person's forgotten because that delicious, delectable bit of food is not going to be eaten. And Duncan, what did you find in our fridge yesterday?
Okay, well, I'd like to first of all say that I am the self-declared sheriff of our fridge.
Yep.
And I am perplexed by a certain individual, Supertech Steve.
Mm, he's been named.
He has been named, has got a delicious dessert that has been sitting half-eaten in the fridge now for at least a week.
Yeah, the question is whether or not, Duncan, you're allowed to eat it.
It is clearly labelled. But here's my thing. If you look at a bell curve for desserts, okay, this is well past the prime eating place and it's now sitting in there gathering dust. Mm. I feel that it is my appropriate duty.
Your fridge has dust?
No, well, no, it doesn't have dust, but I'm saying, you know, what is it? Metaphorically.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
I want to take that and eat it because I don't want to see it go to waste.
I say yes, but 1-300-40-2020, can Duncan eat the dessert from the shared fridge? Supertech Steve has not consumed it. It has been there pretty much the whole week. It's starting to lose the sugary sheen.
I just don't want to see it go off knowing that I could full well eat that dessert and enjoy it right now.
I would like to be able to send Duncan down to the fridge. Your help is needed. 1-300-40-2020. Can Duncan eat the dessert? Duncan, you're down in the kitchen. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well. We are talking about whether or not you can eat the dessert that is in the shared fridge. Now, before we go to the verdict from the people, Duncan, what can you see?
Okay, listen, it's like a custom box. I mean, this thing is like, it's one of those pink Zumbo boxes right now. I've opened it up.
Mm.
It's clearly passion fruit custard and a biscuit base. It's been in here for at least 5 days. I want to say maybe even 7 to 10. It smells absolutely divine.
Mm, are there any bites taken out of it?
Well, listen, it's been cut in half. So I know that no bites have been taken out of it. Supertech Steve has clearly eaten half of it, but has forgotten, in my opinion.
Let's get Nancy on the line with you. Hello, Nancy.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, so what do you reckon? Can Duncan eat this passion fruit cake?
Yeah, look, I think he can, but I think he needs to ask Steve first.
Mm. All right, so the verdict comes down to permission.
I've forgotten about this. This is like a beautiful puppy dog that has been left in the wild, and I'm just trying to give it a home, Nancy.
Mandy, what do you reckon? Can Duncan eat it?
Big no, not without permission.
What? What if I'm the self-professed sheriff? No?
You need to ask permission.
I like that you're laying down the law, though, Mandy. I'm with you. Duncan, have you tried any from the fridge yet?
I haven't tried it, but I mean, it does look so spectacular. It's like glistening gold passion fruit with this incredible yellow custard in the middle.
I think you're going to have to stop salivating, because on the text line 0448402020, Summer also says you shouldn't eat dessert unless you have permission, and why would you want to eat a half-eaten dessert? Supertech Steve has actually jumped on, and he said he's really busy, so I don't think you're going to get permission from him. But in your favour, Vince says eat it.
Oh, I like Vince. I like Vince a lot.
Maybe we should...
He could be the fridge constable to go alongside me as the sheriff, and we could just say that's a yes.
Matthew, what do you think?
I say no. Reason being is that this is exactly like the chip.
The shared chip conversation.
Shared chip conversation.
Okay, so basically Duncan needs to establish with Steve, first things first, whether they can share and then go on permission as well.
Yeah. This dessert is on Steve's plate right now, and he hasn't given him permission.
I'm with you, Matthew. Thank you.
He hasn't offered it.
No, I hear you.
But Matthew, listen, people have like finished their meal. They've gone away and another people have come into the table and the plate's still sitting there. Surely I can have a crack at it now like a seagull of the work environment.
So it's okay for Laura to sort of just wait there and act like a seagull and take the chips?
Yes.
No, well, after I've gone home, yeah. I mean, like, you know, if I'm no longer around the plate, then
Duncan,
cold chip.
Don't you be trying to change your rules now. It sounds like a no. You put that back in the fridge and you come back up to the studio now.
Okay.
I feel like that's like a kid saying yes, but secretly he's scoffing dessert right now.
Thoughtful.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this time of a Thursday morning, there is some ponderations on our mind.
Oh,
and we
pontifications
just,
and ruminations.
Ponderationals that
yes.
need to be just got off in our chest. Wow, words are just not working
this
morning.
It's good.
What is your thoughtful thought?
Focus on being productive instead of being busy. That's a Tim Ferriss quote.
Can I be busy being productive?
Yes, you can. Ooh. You can absolutely do that.
What a ponderificalcation that is. My thoughtful thought for this week. Can carp, fish.
Okay.
I've got a couple of fish-related ones. Can carp get carpal tunnel?
I think it's just called L-tunnel syndrome.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's our thoughtful thoughts for this morning. Okay, English teachers and wannabe English teachers.
Yes.
Here's your moment. What is the grammatical error that bugs you?
So there's a UK man right now who has been running around fixing up other people's signs with apostrophes in the wrong spot or adding apostrophes where they need to be.
Mm.
And I kind of share an affinity for this guy's heart. I never learned classical grammar at school. It was a later edition. And so I know every time I write a book, an editor gets very cranky at me. But seriously, apostrophes save lives. Think about it for a second. I could say, let's eat grandma. Full stop. And you would say that's a horrible thing to do.
It is a horrible thing to do.
But
grandma
if I said,
like
let's eat, comma, grandma, you'd be like, okay, hold on. Something's changed and you want to eat some food with grandma.
A comma's different from an apostrophe though, isn't it?
I think they are. Well, yes. This is, so apostrophes
delineate ownership of something. Okay.
Starting to get technical.
Yeah, very technical. But if you use them in the wrong way, I can understand why grammar people would get frustrated about this.
You know, this dude in the UK has what he calls his apostrophizer, which is this long-handled tool that he's created so that he can reach up high on the street signs and add the apostrophes where they need to be.
Well, and it That's is probably passion. The most confusing part of grammar is the apostrophe. Mm. When do you use it? When don't you use it? The one that gets me, though, is use.
Or like when people say, hey, use guys.
Hey, use guys. I'm like, oh, I struggle a bit with that one.
What is the grammatical error that just gets you? Good morning, Peter. What is it that gets you?
Oh, when people exchange the G and the K on everything.
Right. Give me an example for that. Everything.
Oh, drives me insane.
I hear you, Peter. Like, proper pronunciation is important. 1-300-40-2020. Hey, Ghana, what is it that bothers you with grammar?
Mine's the grammatical numerical 0415-04 blah blah.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we say O?
That is a good one.
Mm, maybe because zero, I guess zero is just not as like common in our vocabulary. Hey,
yeah,
that's going to bug me now as well.
I had not even thought about that. 1-300-40-2020. What is the grammar that irks you?
Morning, Rebecca. What's it for you?
Good morning. For me, it's when people say the contraction would have as would of.
Oh, because it's meant to be would have.
I would have made that mistake a lot of times there, Rebecca.
I feel like English teachers are just so happy right now that some of these things are being addressed. And for the rest of us, I now have new things that bother me.
There are a few that I'm guilty of, I feel like.
Riding along in my automobile.
Oh, classic.
My baby beside me
at the wheel.
It really is. And our cars have personality, which makes sense as to why you would name them. What have you named your car? 1-300-40-2020.
So it turns out that if you do actually name your car, it's a sign of intelligence, not weirdness. A recent study has shown this. And I'm feeling very excited about this.
Yeah.
Because I have owned, my first car was a 1981 626.
Yeah.
And it was called the Bronze John.
Yeah.
Controversial name because usually you give it a girl's name.
Well, and if you call it John, that sounds like it's where you're going to go to the bathroom.
Where it does, and it did have that kind of feel to it, which is why it was called the Bronze John.
Mm.
Now, the second one I had was called Gertrude the Swedish Fridge.
I had a Gertrude as well.
Did you? So I had a 240 GL Volvo from like 1982 called Gertrude the Swedish Fridge.
Ours was an old Range Rover that was named Gertrude because she's kind of, my interpretation of a Gertrude is that she's got like, she's wide in the shoulders. She's got like that firm stance.
Yeah, she's got great stance.
She doesn't muck about.
She's built for utility. Loved it. Now, the most recent car I had was a grey one, and that was called Hawkeye because of the eyes of the actual car. Now, my most recent one, I don't have a name for it yet.
Oh, we're going to have to like call it like the Red Flamingo.
Oh, because it's Red Flamingo.
Well, it's kind of sparkly. So flamingo is a little bit party, but it's red. Red Flamingo. Okay. I totally reckon.
We're
going
to put a pin in that and come back to that. And we might think about it later. What have you named your car?
My current car is called Lexi. Because she's a, I think I need something a little more creative. I don't really like Lexi, but because it's a
she's
Lexan.
She's 1,000 years old. She needs to pass away.
She's got spunk, okay? Terrell on the text line has a car named Bonnie. I do like that. Bonnie has a bit of spunk as well.
Yeah, my first car was called the Bronze John. Adam, what did you name your car?
Silver Bullet.
Oh, I like that.
Why did your car get this name?
Okay, so obviously it's silver. And it's initially I thought it was quite fast for a Holden Astra.
Yeah. Love it. Do you play a bit of Bob Seger in the Silver Bullet?
Nah, I'm not into that guy.
Oh, bummer.
Good on you, Adam. Oh. I love that like moment where it's Duncan poor taste.
Your music taste is terrible.
1-300-40-2020. Morning, Sarah. What have you named your car?
Well, we've named our car Goldie Pants.
Love it. Now, why is it called Goldie Pants?
Well, because it's a gold Toyota.
Yep.
But it's a throwaway line for one of the Lego Star Wars movies. Somebody calls C-3PO Goldie Pants, and the kids just loved it, and it just stuck. We have a C-3PO in the front, one of those wobblehead ones.
Oh, I love it.
This is great.
It'd be great walking around the shopping centre and being like, hey, Mum, where do you park Goldie Pants?
The environment, Sarah, that you and your family have created. I feel like we've got a Star Wars theme going with Amanda. Hello.
Hello. How are you going?
Going very well. So what kind of car have you got? What have you called it?
I have a Skoda, and he's green, and his name is Yoda.
Oh,
Yoda, yes, the Skoda.
So good.
Yeah. That is... we have a little Yoda toy now in the front as well. So.
Oh, that is amazing.
That's perfect,
that
Amanda.
That is so much fun.
It's good. It's good to know that we've established an intelligent community here at Hopeland.
Yeah.
Naming of cars, totally right up there. Good on you guys. Also on the text line, 0448402020, Rick, jump on board. He's had a few. Kylie the Kingswood, Karen the Second Kingswood.
I like that.
Connie the Commodore. Ooh. Belinda the Calais, Hillary the Hilux. It goes on. My goodness, yeah. Rick, love your name choices.
Susan, what have you named your car?
Ali.
Really? Ali seems a pretty like modern, young, hip choice. Why did you go with Ali?
Because the colour's Alcamone.
Oh, Alcamone. Okay.
So I chose it from the colour.
I think that's a good idea, Susan.
Ali, the Alcamone car. That's quite I've never heard of that. What colour is Alcamone?
I'm not sure. I'm going to have to Google that. Yeah. Hey, Matt, 1300402020, what have you named your cars?
Morning, guys. I've got a little Mazda 2 that I call Zoomy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Zips around. I like that.
And we've got a silver family Odyssey that we call Odessa.
Ooh, Odessa. Now, I like that.
We don't stop there. All our devices, like our tablets and that, all have names.
Oh, okay.
Huh. What have you named them?
They're all named after butlers. So we've got Alfred, we've got...
There's got to be a Jeeves in there.
Yeah, we've got Jarvis.
Oh, nice, Jarvis.
Perfect. Yeah. I love it, Matt. Good very suggestions. Cool. Clearly, Hopeland are very intelligent, according to science.
The week's best bits. Laura and Duncan's Hope Breakfast Podcast.
Well, I guess that's it for a great week. I'll jump into the red flamingo and get on out of here.
I just need to find Lexi and we can cruise in the very fragile ecosystem that is my car. But don't forget, subscribe to the podcast below, beside, upside down, wherever the button is for you.
Just hit it. Subscribe. It's worth it. So
hit
much
it.
Fun.
See you next week.
Bye.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan. 6 till 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.